I'm looking at a Go file, and there's a struct called client with a database pool and two mutexes and two maps. I want to know how you sit down and come up with that.
You don't, it appeared.
What?
Nobody sat down and designed that struct. It grew. Somebody wrote a function that talked to the database, and it needed the pool. 6 months later, somebody added the price table, and it needed the same pool and a mutex. Somebody consolidated. What you are looking at is sediment.
So the struct isn't the plan?
The struct is the residue of the plan. The plan was, we need to talk to Postgres and keep track of which partitions exist. The plan was not, create a client type.
Then how does the client end up so tidy? It looks like somebody drew it.
They cleaned it up after, which is what most design is. A first pass that works, then a second pass that removes the arguments you got tired of passing.
Break that, say I have to write something that reads prices and puts them in the database. What is my first line of code?
A function. It takes a database handle and a price and writes the price. Write the body.
That's it.
That's it. Now write the next one. Same idea, reads a batch of prices back. Now the third one. And by the fourth one, you notice you are typing the same argument in every signature, and that is the moment.
The moment I make a struct.
The moment the struct wants to exist. You look at the four functions, you notice they all take the pool, and you go, fine, put the pool in a bag and hang the functions off the bag. That bag is the client.
So client is what the arguments turned into.
Client is what the shared arguments turned into. The specific things in that struct, the pool, the mutex, the map, each one arrived because a function needed it and other functions needed it too.
What about the map though, the one that tracks partitions, why is that in there?
Because somebody noticed that every insert was asking the database, does the partition for this day exist yet, and getting the same answer for the same day forever. So they cached it in a map. The map has to persist across calls, so it can't be a local variable in the function. It has to sit somewhere the next call can find it. It sits on the client.
And the mutex is because two goroutines might hit that map at once.
Correct. The mutex is next to the map because it protects the map. That is the actual design decision, which mutex protects which thing, and it lives inside the struct because that is the only place it can.
Okay, but then there's this other struct, the raw price one. That one is just fields. No methods, no mutex, no pool. Different kind of thing.
Different kind of thing. That one is a name for a record. Somebody has an observation that a venue reported a price at a time, and they need to pass that around, and a bare tuple of two strings and two timestamps and a float is unreadable at the call site.
So they gave it a name.
They gave it a name and named the fields. And now when a function takes a raw price, you know what it takes. It is the smallest kind of struct. Pure data, no behavior. Some languages call it a record. Some call it a struct. Same idea.
The two timestamps, though, that's weird. There is a bucket one and an observed one.
That is the domain leaking through. The observation belongs in a 1 second bucket, so there is a bucket time. But two observations can arrive for the same bucket in the wrong order, and one of them is the truer one. So you also keep the venue's own clock, and you use that to arbitrate. Those two fields exist because a bug happened once.
You can tell.
You can always tell. The interesting fields in a struct are the ones where the name feels a bit too specific. That is where a bug lives.
Okay, zoom back out. There are two kinds of struct so far, the bundle of state with methods and the named record.
Roughly, yes. And both appeared for the same reason, which is that something showed up more than once. Repeated arguments become a bundle. Repeated tuples become a record.
So the whole thing is, notice repetition, give it a name.
A lot of it is. The other half is noticing that some state has to survive between calls and finding a home for it. That is what the client is. The home for state that outlives one function.
Why does the word client show up everywhere? Postgres client, Ridi's client, web client, is that a pattern?
It is vocabulary. There are maybe five things a program actually does. talk to a database, talk to an API, hold a queue, hold a cache, expose a handler. Each one has connections, retries, timeouts. Somebody called the thing that holds those a client decades ago, and it stuck. If you had invented it fresh, you would probably call it something worse.
So it's not a design pattern.
It is a noun. The pattern books will tell you it is a facade or an adapter, and technically that is not wrong, but the reason people write clients is not that they read a book. It is that there is stuff to hold, and they had to put it somewhere.
Is any of this a Go thing?
None of it is a Go thing. Java calls the bag a class, puts the fields at the top and the methods below, and adds visibility keywords. Python calls it a class and does the same with less ceremony. Rust calls it a struct with impl blocks, which is Go with the trait system taken seriously. The shape is universal because the problem is universal. A language that did not let you bundle state with the code that touches it would be miserable to use, so all of them let you.
What about dependency injection?
Dependency injection is when the function that needs a client takes the client as an argument, instead of reaching for a global or building one on the spot. You would do that anyway, because it is how you test the function.
That's it.
In one sentence, yes. The big frameworks in Java and C# add wiring that assembles all the clients for you at startup, so you do not have to type the wiring yourself. That is a real thing they do, but the idea is one sentence. Pass the client in.
So I don't need to learn dependency injection.
You already know it. You need to learn the wiring if you end up in a Spring codebase. Otherwise, pass the client in.
What about design patterns then? Should I sit down and read the book?
You can. You will recognize them afterwards, from code you already wrote. Reading them first is like reading a joke book to become funny.
So I shouldn't.
I did not say that. Read them so the words do not confuse you when somebody says, "We made it a strategy." Do not sit down with a task and pick which pattern to apply. That is the wrong end of the pipe.
Interview, someone says, implement an order book. What do I do?
You start with what an order is, which is a price, a quantity, a side, buy or sell, and an ID. That is a struct.
I don't design the order book class first.
The order book class arrives when you have written enough functions that all touch the same collection of orders, and you get tired of passing that collection around. You will name it the order book because that is the noun. But it is not the starting point. The starting point is what an order is and what questions the book has to answer.
What questions does the book answer?
What is the best bid? Match this incoming order against the resting ones. Cancel that order. Each one is a function. Write those, and the bag they hang off is your order book. If the interviewer wanted you to draw a class diagram first, they are a bad interviewer, and you already lost.
So the answer to, how do I engineer, is, write the function.
The answer to how you start is, write the function. Then write the second one. When they share arguments, bag them. When state has to survive, home it. When a tuple shows up twice, name it. That is most of it.
That is aggressively unhelpful.
It is aggressively true. The reason you feel like you do not know where to start is that you have been told there is a design step that happens before the code, and there is not. Or rather, there is, but it is a 5-minute sketch on a napkin about which pieces exist and what they do. Not a class hierarchy.
So all these client structs everywhere aren't the fruit of some deep design meeting.
They are the sediment of code that got written. Somebody had a job to do, wrote the functions, noticed the arguments, and gave them a home. The next person cleaned it up and added a mutex. 6 people later, it looks designed.
And the LeetCode thing doesn't help.
LeetCode is a puzzle in one function. Software engineering is what happens when you have 20 functions and they need to share things. Different sport. The reason you do not know where to start is that you have been practicing a different game and thinking it was this one.
Okay, so I open the file and I write a function.
Write the function. When it needs something, take it as an argument. When 5 functions take the same argument, that is the struct wanting to exist. Let it. Do not name it client. See what it wants to be called.